You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
So I got a little cigar for us this week. I'm smoking the Diesel Fuels Worthy Fool. It's the new Fool's Errand cigar for this year. Sporting a Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper over Nicaraguan Habano binders and Nicaraguan Habano filler. And it's like a 5x58 little Perfecto shape, weird looking bastard. But so far, pretty tasty.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what matters. Like, I've tried a lot of, like, the different shape torpedoes and stuff like that just to be like, it changes the draw a lot of times, but I haven't been like, oh, this shape absolutely makes a cigar.
It's like
at least not to that extreme.
How was that weird-ass one? It was like a Salomon, I think, was it. It's like Churchill length, but it's, like, wider at the base than it is at the top, and it's a really funky looking shaped cigar, but that one had an interesting kind of draw experience.
Yeah, I mean, it to me, like, you can take a small cigar like that and be like, oh well, shit, I expected an hour smoke, and here it is an hour and a half later, and I'm still puffing on the thing.
Oh, speaking of long smokes, hey, well, what are you smoking?
I don't even know. What'd you give me today?
It's the
old Punch Signature.
Punch Signature series. I've been doing like a new kind of series of shorts called How Long Does It Take to Smoke? And smoking different sizes cigars. I picked up the new CAO Flathead the other day. It's an 8x60. It was a damn near 3-hour smoke. So, good cigar, but I don't recommend it unless you have time. Because it's not going to be a quick experience.
I'm just going to get you a Woody and let you see.
That would have to be a multi-part video. There's no way I could. Normally I check in like every 30 minutes. With that, it'd be like, all right, 2 hours in. Just check in like every couple
Four
of hours.
Hours later. And yeah. I'm a quarter of the way.
By the end of the video, I'm just like dead.
I just think it's funny because most people's not going to understand like what the Woody is. So the Woody is actually a 3-foot long cigar.
Yeah.
And I think it's a 80 ring gauge or 70
something like
ring
that.
Gauge.
Yeah, it's like smoking a fucking baseball bat. It's ridiculous. But speaking of ridiculous, this week we're talking about Twisters, the sequel we didn't know we needed and not sure we actually wanted. But we're going to get into the good and bad of that. And if you need to track down some storms, call the Strike Force, StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. Get you a nice little 10 pouncers that you can, you know, wad up and throw into the tornado and maybe track it like Dorothy or whatever the fuck they did in this movie. But that's all I got for you here in the intro. We'll be right back with the main show.
It's Tyler Owens. Calls himself the Tornado Wrangler.
If you feel it,
chase it!
I said if you feel it,
chase it!
She's gorgeous.
You thought you could destroy a tornado.
We never had a chance.
You want one?
No!
You don't face your fears. You ride them.
Welcome back. Yes, we're going to have a weird show for you today, because normally we're usually on the same page with movies we watch, but in this case, like, I'm not going to say I loved it, but I liked it. I thought it was fun, and you've had, you know, conflicting
opinions. I'm not sure how I feel about the movie yet. Like, I watch people's reactions to this, and I'm like, are we watching two different movies right now? And I don't know. Like, I'll preface by saying the original Twister, fucking hell yeah. Like, that is a movie I'll watch multiple times a year, and... You know, people are like, well, you know, you do storm spotting and, you know, dabble with this and that. And I'm like, yeah, but I know how to remove the science from shit and just have a good time with the movie.
Yeah, that's, you know? That's my, I mean, for me, I am very critical of movies that have bad police stuff or bad martial arts stuff, because that's my background. So I have a hard time, like, when someone's doing something absolutely stupid on screen, like, turning my brain off. Is that the same way with you, since you're, like, you know, kind of a weather nerd? Do you think you're more critical of this movie than say, the average movie watcher?
I mean, maybe, but I'm not critical because, oh, they got this terminology wrong. Or, no, that's not how, you know, supercell thunderstorms and tornadic activity or convection, that sort of shit work. Like... When I try to see a movie based around weather, like, I try to get all of that out of my head and just, you know, like, I think for me, probably it was just sitting in a theater auditorium and being like, this probably would have been really cool on, like, 40X or something. You know, like, with the wind blowing and, you know, that sort of thing, like... There was a scale to the original Twister. And, you know, like, you absolutely felt like, you know, Bill and Joe at that time were in peril. And, you know, like, to me, I just felt like I was a lot more invested in those two characters than with who we had playing our main characters in Twisters, I guess. Like, to me, Twisters was, hey, we're a love story, but occasionally we're going to sprinkle in a tornado. Whereas, like, I don't know, maybe for me it's the same as kind of like a Jurassic Park or something. Like, the 96, you know, Twister was groundbreaking in the CGI and all of this other stuff. And although the tornado and Twisters look cool, I was like, where's all the advancement?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun movie, but then again, like, all right, before I get into, like, because I don't understand any of this gibberish that they're talking about, oh, the weather's moving this way, so the storm's going to do that. Was any of that shit, like, accurate, or were they just, like, talking out of their ass this whole movie?
I mean, I think a lot of it
was... It's going to go either way for me. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like some science.
I mean, you know, they sprinkled in some meteorology terms, but... You got the same sort of Hollywood bullshit treatment where it's like, hey, people that live in the Midwest have probably heard about convection. They've heard about updrafts. They've heard about, you know, whereas us in the Southeast, like, oftentimes we don't hear about a lot of that shit because you can't see shit due to all the trees. So,
yeah, it's
you
like
know,
we're
unless
here...
the weatherman's like, yep, there's a tornado warning. Like, most of the time shit is rain wrapped and you're never going to see anything in Georgia.
Is that just because of the, like, the land being flat out there? Like, we get tornadoes here, but not nearly as...
It just has to do with, you know...
Destructive or long-lasting.
No, it has nothing to do with the topographic, you know, as much as it does... You know, you got the warm moisture coming up out of the Gulf, you got the cool Canadian air, and, you know, the Midwest is a big target. So, you know, the... Bigger the landmass, like...
And you don't have, like, here where we have, like, mountains and big forests and stuff to kind of affect
yeah,
that
I mean,
wind
you
pattern.
Do have, you know, the Rocky, you know, mountains absolutely can do some very interesting things to the weather. But, you know, most of the time, you know, it all depends. I mean, there was some stuff where, like you were saying, where they
yeah,
sprinkled
like
in some
get,
science,
yeah,
but,
we get, like,
you know...
A couple tornadoes... Like here and there, it's like, but yeah, out there, it's like, oh, this week, this month, we're getting like daily tornadoes and shit. And I gotta say, from like the writing perspective, like effects wise, I thought 20 years of advancement the stuff they did with the tornadoes looked really cool. But I don't know if it like was bigger than the original, but they I was like, all right, yeah, the effects in this look amazing. But they're in these small towns, right? And they're like having to tell people, oh, tornado's coming, get to shelter. I'm like, these motherfucker lives in Tornado Alley. I'm pretty sure they know what to fucking do when a tornado hits. They don't need these out-of-towners coming telling them like how to... Don't get in your car and drive away. Like, motherfucker, I've been living here for 20 years. I know what to fucking do in a tornado.
I mean, but you would be surprised that, you know, a lot of times stuff like power outages or, you know, even with the advancements in science and studying thunderstorms, like, we are still not at the point to where, you know, we can see, you know, I forgot what the distance is, but, you know, we're still at the point to where our radar beams are not looking at the ground level where most, you know, destruction is occurring.
Yeah, most of your, like,
we're looking, you know,
in the atmosphere.
In the atmosphere,
we don't have, like, whatever,
and, you know,
a lot of ground-based
without
radar.
A spotter or somebody being like, no, it's just a funnel cloud, you know, it's not a tornado yet, or, hey, this is on the ground, like, you know. Sometimes, you know, you might get lucky, but not everywhere has,
not so much like the pre-warning, but it's like when the tornado hits and everybody's just in the streets, like panicking and shit. Like, they're having,
dude,
like, no, you got to do this. Don't get in your, I'm like, you think that'd be like a daily
every
occurrence.
Fucking tornado warning. As soon as I hear sirens, you know what I do?
You go look. I guess it's like, you know, around here, it's like Florida, man. Like, you know, every year they're like, hey, hurricane's coming, everyone evacuate the area, and there's always some asshole on his, like, on the beach with a, you know, bottle of whiskey, like, you know, waiting for the hurricane to hit. So I guess it's like, yeah, Midwest has their own Florida man.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, like, the original Twisters was... I'm going to go back to my original argument that social media has just ruined everything. Because this became a battle of influence versus, like, the original, where it was kind of odd in itself, because, you know, Bill's like, oh, you're just in it for the money, not the science. And it's like, you kind of need money and stuff to kind of, you know, be able to pursue the science. But
yeah, because that's kind of like the B plot in this one that... you know, back it up to how our main character got there in the first place. Is her whole, like, she was coming up with a way to try to stop tornadoes during, I guess, college. And tornado was a lot bigger than they thought it was, and her whole team pretty much got wiped out. So she's like, fuck this, I'm getting the hell out of the Midwest, I'm going to New York and be like a fucking weather girl or whatnot. And her one surviving team member is like, hey, I got some new technology I want to test out. Like, but I need someone who can get us in position. And you're like the goddamn weather wizard and can, like, really figure out how
to move. And that was definitely a nod to, you know, sort of Bill, where, you know, he had an inert ability to kind of be able to judge and, you know, stuff what a storm was going to do. So that was kind of a cool little hint to the original.
That's thing too. It's kind of weird because I've never heard this term before, but they're calling this a standalone sequel. So it's a sequel within the same universe, but has zero connection to the original film. I thought it'd been so much easier just to say, hey, one of these persons is like Bill's kid, or, you know, even if they don't bring in the original cast, other than you seeing the Dorothy unit from the first movie.
I think the issue was. Is there for a while Helen Hunt wanted to do a sequel where she was, you know, like the grandmother or something, and couldn't get that idea or whatever to manifest. And
I heard some things about her script.
Yeah, and you know, that might be, you know, I don't know, you know, but. People are like, well, you know, they should have did the, you know.
It just, yeah, even like, even if.
Like, well, I think this would have been a great movie if You just let it stand on its own. Don't even try to tie it to 1996. You know, there wasn't enough groundbreaking.
Which they didn't really, other than, like you said, seeing that Dorothy unit. It's like, all right, the thing they invented in the first movie is still being used today. You know, they're like, that's literally the only connection to, like, the original film. And in this one, they're trying to do something
different. Well, you know, Bill Paxton's son had a cameo.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
So, you know, I mean, like, there was, you know, I don't know. I just think
it's within the same universe. It's just does not connect with anything original.
Hey,
had.
It's Earth. Earth has tornadoes.
Yeah. But I did like, there's the Dorothy unit. So this is in the same universe. And then after that, it's like, so there, instead of trying to, like, in the first one, the goal was to put these sensors to measure airspeed or whatever within the tornado. And in this one, they're trying to basically do a 3D scan of, like, the...
So instead of getting one thing in the path of a tornado, you have to get three things.
So we gotta, like,
we gotta surround it, man.
Like I said, I love the effects. Like I said, it was a fun movie, but to your point, the first movie, I think, had less tornadoes, more character development, and this one's like, no.
See, I felt like there were more.
Way more tornadoes, like less character development.
You know, we had the twins. We had, you know, the first tornado when they get caught under the wooden bridge. There was the, you know, one that hit the drive-in theater. There was the one that went through Aunt Meg's house. Like, then there was your final, like, F5 and the Sidewinder. Like, there were so many, like, you know, and like I said, you know.
Oh, the fucking fire tornado when it hits the damn refinery. I was like, we've gone full Sharknado at this point. We got fire tornadoes.
There is a Catnado in development.
Those are dangerous. That might be worse than a Sharknado. Pussy-nado. That's going to be the porn parody.
But I don't, you know. Like, I don't know. I know with big fires, like, you know, forest fires and stuff, they do create their own atmosphere. And, you know, it's not due to a thunderstorm, you know, causing a tornado, yeah, but like, just the convection of the fire and everything else will get, you know, the fire-nado going. I don't know if, I guess it's possible if a tornado went over something and it blew up, like, you know, most of the time, though, like, you'll just see the power flashes and other stuff. I don't know that anybody's actually seen a tornado strike something that blew up, and then all of a sudden, oh, hell, now we got a fire-nado.
Yeah, most of the time we don't have...
That's thunderstorm-driven.
this is kind of just reminds me of some, like, weird movie where it's like, oh, yeah, with, like... Like a sci-fi, like some of those sci-fi original, like, horror movies and shit that are just so ridiculous. Like, all right, the last one we had Sharknados. Now we have, like, a Fire-nado and a Lightning-nado and, like, a Lava-nado.
Whoa. Fall-nado. But to me, I don't know. Like, there was just a certain spirit and a drive on the first one. With a badass soundtrack. I can't name one fucking song off this movie.
I know there was music, but it's not stuck with me. It's like, I think Deadpool wiped most of my brain out.
I mean, it was just, you know, well, it's Oklahoma, so we're going to make this, you know, all country and whatnot. And it's like I don't, you know, you're...
I got to say, like, dude, like, the first one... I mean, we saw, like, the aftermaths of tornadoes in, but, like, and this one, you legit seen people getting, like, sucked up and blown away and shit. So it's like, while not being gory, there was a lot more death that you could, like, see on screen in the, like, you know, people's getting their car.
Yeah. And I think maybe that's part of the problem too, is there was just such a scale, you know, where, you know, here it's like, all right, we're at the movie theater. Oh, the movie theater got damaged, you know. Oh, the screen you're now staring at just got sucked away, and people in the audience are sayonara'd, you know.
I know, I did like the tornado hitting I'm gonna take you to a rodeo. It's like, you know, tornado hitting the rodeo. I mean, that would have been the best opportunity for a callback to the "We Got Cows" from the original, but didn't see no bulls in a tornado. I mean, should have had at least one kind of swinging around.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think for me, there was just too much emphasis on Glenn Powell and whatever the girl's name is story that just
Kate, played by
took
Daisy
everything
Edgar
away.
Jones.
Whereas the original, like, dude, everybody remembers, you know, fucking Dusty, the Extreme, you know, and the team members were memorable.
Yeah,
I didn't give a shit about a single one of the fucking, you know, and I called the shit from the very beginning to be like, fake good guy, he's gonna end up bad, and that'll be her actual. And I think for me, that might have been like, God damn it, fucking Hollywood! Like, I've already seen what you're about to do here.
Yeah, because her old friend that recruited her to work for his like kind of well-funded operation. Turns out that they're basically making a deal with like a sleazy like loan guy to fund their research. Because like you said, you got to have money for the research. But basically what they're doing is, you know, since they're the first ones on the scene in a lot of these like tornado hits, because they're there trying to track the tornadoes, they're like, hey, like, let me introduce you to my, you know, insurance banker guy. And he's, you know, basically buying up all these properties super cheap from people that don't have insurance, and, you know, profiting off of scamming people out of their homes, and then, you know, funding their startup with the profits. And then you've got the Glory Hound, aka Tyler Owens, played by Glenn Powell, who is a YouTube sensation, but not just like crazy jackass dude. He actually has a degree in meteorology, but he's like, got bored, wanted to do YouTube shit.
Well, I mean, like,
because you think he's an idiot when she first starts talking to him. He's like, oh no, I actually have degrees in meteorology and went to whatever college and shit. It's just like, I just thought this.
So
was
I mean, you know, the Discovery Channel had, you know, the entire Storm Chaser series, you know, with, you know, Team Twist X, RIP to those guys. You know, Reed Timmer and a whole host of other storm chasers, along with Sean Casey, like, all trying to essentially get, like, IMAX inside of a tornado, you know? So, you know, Glenn Powell's character, like, you know, I'm sorry, dude, you got 6-inch augers going in the ground, that's probably not doing shit for you. You know, whereas, like, Reed Timmer, like, dude, he's got, you know, fucking Dominator 1, 2, and 3, and those are like fucking tanks that'll, you know, lower flush to the ground and everything. So, you know, but to that point, like, a lot of people that don't follow storm chasing or anything of that nature, like, oh, this is really cool. But, you know, it's like, no, there's people out there actually doing this shit, you know.
A fan of trucks, I did like the truck, even though it was like Hollywood ridiculous and probably would not have survived. Because cool, it had the metal roll cage, and then it had the augers to like anchor it to the ground. And even he says it's only rated for like an F2. Anything bigger than that, it's going to get like ripped out of the ground. But the windows weren't really like, all right, cool, you got a roll cage in this thing, but a tree going through your window is going to really ruin your day. Unless you got some, like, you know, fucking bulletproof Lexan or something. Yeah, it didn't seem reinforced enough in the window area for me.
Yeah, I don't.
And it's like, hey, welcome to Jackass. I'm going to launch fireworks in this here tornado.
But, you know.
But as a wannabe YouTuber myself, I was like, that's fun. If I had the budget, I'd do something all right, like that.
So. Choice of the two trucks, either Red Ram from, you know, fucking 96 or modern, you know.
That's what I like, because it looked almost like the, because it was an older model Ram that he had exited. So that was another thing kind of linked to the past, or homage to the past, because definitely not the same truck. But I'm like, all right, it looks enough like Bill's truck that kind of cool. And but to your point of like the wacky team of researchers from the first one, we kind of knew a lot more about them, where they gave, you know, Tyler's like this whole kind of crew of support guys that are like the rough and tumble people like the original movie, but we got zero character development on his like sidekicks.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
I couldn't name a single one of the other characters that are along the ride.
Whatever, you know, what's her face's boyfriend was in the very beginning that got sucked away from the underpass and everybody else, it's like, you know, it's like, you're going to be out of here and, you know,
yeah, it's like
3 minutes in, so no background note. So I'm like, dude didn't mean shit to me.
Yeah. Here's drone flying girl. Here's a fireworks guy. That's a RV guy.
But it just seemed like outside name. Of our two main characters, like there was just no fucking personality. And in that role, like, dude, I'm sorry. You know, I work with fucking blue collar guys and, you know, roughnecks and all kinds of shit. Like, certain industries and certain aspects, these aren't, you know, cookie cutter people. Like, everybody's got some kind of dynamic. They're all chasing that fucking adrenaline rush, whether it's for science, whether it's for money, whatever. Like, it would have been cool to have a bit more dynamic to where you actually gave a shit about somebody other than Glenn and, I'm going to say Daisy, but I don't think her name was Daisy.
No, that's her name. Her character's name is Katie, or Kate. Kate Carter.
Okay. Well, hey. I was close.
And apparently the drone operator lady was named Lily. And the photographer was named Boone. But yeah, I don't remember any of those people's names. Like you said, like other than the first two main characters, it's like there was zero kind of character development on the rest of the team. They're like, we just need a group of people that look cool. And then we're not going to tell you anything about them.
But did they even really look cool?
I mean, they looked like we're trying to do a modern version of the OG team. We have those like people who do the kind of the similar things. Like we're gonna get a, like an RV, and you know we're gonna make our version of like the original team, the Wish.com version of.
I wonder what it would be like trying to fly a drone in 70-80 mile per hour wind gust. Yeah, I feel like as light as a drone is, it's going to get tumbled. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know enough about drones, but yeah, that would not seem...
Like, it really makes me want to go to the park, like, next, like... Dude, I was out there a few weeks ago when we had, you know, like, a thunderstorm roll in, and, dude, it was, like, gusting
the
60 miles per hour.
The goggles, too, would probably look cool as shit.
Yeah.
You know, even if you lose your drone, that lead up like footage of like flying into the tornado would probably look cool as hell in that perspective. But I do like how they, you know, they had like the freaking racing harnesses and shit in the truck, and like the mortar launchers and everything. It was a cool, like I said, it's probably Hollywood bullshit, but it was cool. And I do appreciate one thing about this movie that I did appreciate that made it fun was, so many movies and TV shows, they like, we all have to have a message. Even if they don't go like fully, like full blown woke, it's like, oh, we got to have some kind of message. There was no message in this. There wasn't like, we've got more tornadoes than normal because of global warming and we've got to save the environment. And I was like, nah, dude, tornadoes suck. We want to try to stop one or like film inside one. And I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I can get behind that. I'm so tired of getting like preached at by like movies and shows. But I'm like, it was a nice, like, break just to have, like, a good summer stupid movie that I didn't have to think too much about. Even though the characters you really didn't care about. It was a fun not to have to, like, you know, think for an hour and a half.
Yeah, and I don't
know.
Which
I heard that was kind of the problem with the version Helen Hunt wanted to make, is it was going to be, like, super woke. Like, we want to do a whole, like, female-only storm chaser team, and all the other teams are going to be people of color. And, like, And I don't know how much truth to that rumor there is, but that's like kind of the rumor.
I don't really even care about her script. Great, be like super woke. Make an all female team. Make an all, you know, whatever team. I don't care, you know, but don't let it just be, hey, we did this, you know, just to preach.
Yeah, I'm so fired up forced diversity in movies, or like preach, you know, like if it's natural. Cool. If it's but it doesn't have to be your center storyline. You know, if it's like, you know, in the real world, yeah, there's like diversity, but like there's so many movies and stuff doing like just forced diversity where it's like, no, there cannot be any like, you know, men in this movie. It needs to like, you know, in a job that's probably like, you know, a high percentage of of male people. It's gotten ridiculous where it's like there's when it fits organically into the story, cool. But when you shoehorn an agenda into a story, it never like fits right. And it just,
well, to me, it just removes it from, and I'm like, okay, like I'm out. Like I just instantly check out. And I don't know, like, what was the runtime of this movie? 2 hours and 20 something minutes or?
I don't know. It did seem kind of 122 minutes, which that's about average movie length these days. Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, like there toward the end, I was like, how much of this do I have? Like this was one of those where I was like fucking looking for my phone or trying to figure out what the fuck time it was. Like it just didn't. It didn't hold me for some reason. And you know, like, it sucks for me because I was really excited for, you know, this potentially. I mean, hell, I don't give a fuck, you know. I'll watch Sharknado. I'll watch, you know, The Day After Tomorrow, 2012, you know.
What was the other one we watched? Disaster. The fucking L.A. earthquake
yeah.
movie. San Andreas or whatever it was.
Yeah, San Andreas, Volcano, like Dante's Peak. You know, I love a good disaster film. But this just was so much less about the disaster and just like...
how Kate got her groove back.
It's like chick flicks, but occasionally there's going to be a tornado touchdown. That's kind of how I viewed it, like...
Yeah, just a little bit of...
That was probably a very oversimplification, but...
I mean, her character... They spent, like, all their character development on those two without, like, anybody else. You don't care about any of the supporting cast in this. Where, you know, her character's got a little bit of Storm PTSD because she was, like, the only, you know, person
like
in her team.
The survivor's guilt type deal.
And when, like, you know... The first time she, you know, because, you know, he talks her into, you know, coming and joining in this team. She's like, all right, I'll give you a week to do this. And, like, the first time they go out, you know, she's like, at first, she's like, all right, yeah, I'm back. Like, I can track this tornado. I'll get y'all in position. But once they get there and she's like, oh, I got to get out of the vehicle and help set up the equipment, she fucking panics and basically, like, you know, takes off and shit. And it's like, and she doesn't really kind of get, I guess, fully... back into it until the rodeo where the tornado hits while they're at the rodeo and, you know, she survives it. And after that, she's like, all right, I guess I'm over my, I faced my fear. I'm ready to get back into the, into the shit of it.
I'm ready to drive a truck into this motherfucker.
But then she finds out, you know, the truth that her team is actually like, you know, screwing all these people out of their homes and, or at least, you know, facilitating that. So she like, I'm going to go back home to mama. And, you know, of course, you know, homeboy's like,
and it's such a great nod miss too. Like how badass would it have been? Walk in. She's just firing up, you know, fucking steak and eggs. Cause dude, that scene is so fucking iconic. Like, you just see, you know, the crew, they show up at Aunt May's and, you know, it's like, May, where's the cow? Oh, steak and eggs. And that shit looks so fucking delicious.
Oh, hell yeah. When you're getting, like, steaks fresh off the farm, oh, man, there ain't nothing. As a meat eater, that ain't nothing better. It's like, yeah, fucking that farm-to-table steaks. Mm.
I need fire. A fire-nado.
Fire-nado.
Let's see. Does it work? That does not work at all.
You're going to end up setting the fucking pop filter on fire or some shit.
It'll be fine. I'll get another one before we have to interview at Dragon Con.
Oh. Oh, shit. Yeah, that reminds me. I gotta send an email. I'll tell you about that afterward. Because I completely forgot all about that shit. But yeah, that would have been the point to, like, plug in, like, if you could have got a Helen Hunt back or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, Mom, you know, she's actually the... But yeah, they were like, nah, we're just going to, like, not refer to anything from the original. But yeah, she, all her research and stuff was still in the old barn. And, you know, of course, Glenn Powell follows her home and is like, hey, all this... This research is actually pretty good.
Like, I just want to state for the record, if you and I did that, people would be creeped the fuck out.
Yeah.
But and yeah. Nobody's mom would be like, oh, yeah, he's staying the night. Like, that's never once happened in my life.
You got to look like a hangman. And you're like, what? You fucking tracked me home? Come on, I got a cowboy hat and my face on a t-shirt.
And I know how to use my brain.
I'm not only smart, but I'm ruggedly handsome. The more movies I see with him in it, though, he's like the next, like, Matthew McConaughey. He is like, so far I've enjoyed him in, like, all the movies I've seen him in. He's going to be like the next, like, big star. As all our old heroes are slowly retiring, I think we're going to see a lot more Glenn Powell in the future. I mean, I think they're doing another Top Gun movie at this point, so. He's got a good Netflix movie out now, too. It's, fuck, I can't remember. The Hitman.
All right, I might have to check that out.
Where he plays a fake hitman.
Wasn't this directed by our same person that did Top Gun Maverick?
I don't know. Director for this is Lee Isaac Chung. Screenplay by Mark L. Smith.
What else?
But it was Amblin Entertainment and Warner Brothers. So it was definitely a big studio film.
Never mind. Minari.
Hmm.
What is that?
No idea.
I don't know.
And they did try to do... When you first meet him and his team, you think, yeah, they're just internet influencer type, you know, just in it for the glory. You know, they're selling t-shirts and merch and shit. But then you find out, like, later on, like, they're passing out meals. It's like, what's going on? It's like, oh, that's why we sell all these t-shirts instead, so we can, like, donate to these, you know, communities hit by tornadoes. Like, we're not just fucking
cowboys out here, just, you know,
zero personality or whatever, just narcissistic internet types like us. You know, they're like, you know, yeah, we're doing all this shit for the clicks, but, you know, the money we're making, we're trying to, like, help people with. I'm like, oh, okay, y'all. Yeah, y'all aren't the bad guys. Wait a minute, are we the bad guys?
M. Night Shyamalan, bum, bum, bum. What's the twist?
Shyamalan ding dong. I fucking hate that guy. He's made one good film. How is that dude still making movies? I've never seen an M. Night Shyamalan
but
movie.
That's the reason why I don't think... I don't know, like... I don't know what it was. You know, I've watched many, many... I've probably seen this movie 8 times now through various YouTube reaction videos. And I've yet to... have the same reaction to any of this that they did. Like,
yeah,
I think
like...
my personality is just too dry. I can't be that animated. I'm too cynical. I don't know. But I'm like, whatever you're seeing and are giddy as shit about right now, I give two fucks about.
I mean, we've been reviewing movies for fucking nearly 10 years at this point. Have we gotten too, like, cynical or analytical about our movie? I don't know. Deadpool. Like, I was fucking giddy about Deadpool. So there's still the ability to have joy. We've not turned into, like, cynical, like, reviewers yet. But yeah, I thought this movie was fun, but it wasn't, like, the greatest movie I ever saw. I mean, it was all right. It's not something that, like, I'm like, bro, you gotta see Twisters. But for me being dumb in this area of science, I'm like, eh, it's pretty cool. Tornado goober.
I mean, it just, you know, with all the advancements and everything else, like, I just expected a much grander scale of destruction and cool shit, and you really didn't get that, you know?
Yeah, because the rodeo, it was, well, kind of like the drive-in scene, like, most of the destruction was done in darkness. Or the camera was, like, focused on the people huddled trying to survive, so you're not seeing all the crazy shit going on around.
Whereas
them.
I think, like, the original, like, they would do those, you know, pan out aerial views, and it would just be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because with modern, like, CGI and shit, you could have really, when your camera exists virtually, they could have done some cool, like, shots, like, going, you know...
I mean, I think for me, one of the coolest ones was, you know, our last tornado.
Yeah, the big climax of the F5 hitting, like, the small town.
Well, and that...
In broad daylight, so it's like, cool, there's a lot of...
And that water tower as it's rolling across set El Reno. And for folks probably that don't study weather, or like, what's El Reno? You know, that's the widest tornado ever recorded, you know, that happened... I think in 2011 at 2.3 plus miles. And, you know, like, there were a lot of storm chasers. Like, you know, you go back and watch the actual news footage, and you were talking earlier about, like, oh, Oklahomians, they know, you know, what the fuck to do. And the weather forecaster, you know, is live on air, and he says, if you are not below ground, you are not going to survive this. And it just caused a mass exodus of people trying to get out of the path of this thing, but it was so fast and so wide that even your professional storm chasers, you know, like that, you know, that's what killed the Twistex team. You know, their car got caught up in it, and, you know, like, you watch videos of, you know, like, storm chasers, you know, oftentimes will kind of pair themselves up, and it's like, oh, there's a white Chevy Cobalt, and then all of a sudden, there's nothing. And it's like, I forgot how many times they said that team got flung out in the middle of this field, and the car rolled, and everything else. But, like, that was kind of a interesting nod, you know, where I'm like, all right, but, yeah, man,
It really made me want to get, like, a fucking Toyota and, like, just haul ass through some fucking cow fields. That shit looked fun.
But I just loved the fact, too, like, she, like, oh, we're going to need a trailer. Oh, you going to want aluminum for that.
Yeah. Yeah, they go to, like, the local, like, you know, we need to haul, like, X amount of pounds, and we also need to strap stuff. And, like, what are y'all coming to try this? We're going to drive into a tornado. Oh, well, in that case, you're going to need this. Y'all speaking my language now, all right? That's it's like going down to country folks here and be like, yeah, I need something to do this. And be like, yeah, we got you. Y'all going to want aluminum.
But wasn't that, like, one of the problems in the original, that the pack was just too light that it, you know...
Yeah,
gets tossed before it
when
ever
they finally
its...
get it in position. Yeah, it gets blown away. So, like, we need something to weight it down. So they strapped it to the back of the truck and just fucking drove the truck right into the tornado and bailed out.
But I don't know. Like,
I think this was just a bit too...
I do like the explosive, like, yeah, hey, we know how to work fireworks. We're going to, like, so we don't have to get out of the truck to open these things. We can just hit a button and pop the tops on them and release the shit into
Does
the
storm.
Did
it ever say what kind of fucking polymer she was trying to release into this thing?
They say, but I... Because they did it once and it didn't do anything, and then they're like, oh, that's because there's not enough moisture in the thing, so we need to, like, use the fireworks to shoot silver nitrate or basically the stuff you use to, like, seed clouds to, like, make it rain, and then the polymer silver iodide
Can we get a Mythbusters episode going? Joe, you want to go on a road trip to the Midwest? Because I'm calling bullshit on this.
Yeah, we could, yeah, definitely get some clicks for the YouTube channel.
I mean, I'm a Skywarn spotter. I can get a couple of other certifications under my belt. We're gonna need a badass insurance policy, though. Oh wait, no, we just need liability only. Tornadoes are an act of God, right?
Yeah.
So. You know. Oh, well, you guys were driving right toward it.
Acrylite beads? Whatever the fuck that is. That might be a made-up word. Not
is
a
that
real...
kind of like that silica or whatever that, you know...
It's the shit they put in, like, beef
shoe
jerky
boxes
that says do
and
not eat.
Beef jerky and stuff.
Maybe. That's it. We'll get a shitload of Brevita packs. Because those release moisture and suck up moisture. We'll just throw a bunch of Brevita packs into the tornado and see if it'll suck up enough to stop it.
I don't think that's going to work.
I didn't see a bunch of people bitching online about this movie, the fact that they never kiss. There's like all this lead up of them two, like, falling in love while tornado chasing. And he even, like, at the end is like, let me get a traffic ticket here and go in and, like, you know, tell her I like her before she flies back to New York to get funding for this new research company we're starting. But then they never
kiss. Dude, he's not getting a traffic ticket. He bolted that shit through the asphalt, okay? Like, good luck towing me, motherfuckers.
You might get a destruction of property warrant.
Have you seen city roads? You think those little fucking peon of holes amount to anything? Hell no, we got car-sized potholes.
Yeah, I've driven to the Atlanta airport. There's just like, ah, this is another pothole. Don't worry about it.
I don't know.
So it was kind of like a, you know, for people who were like, oh, this is a romantic comedy, that are like, God damn it, we waited for the whole, like, guy kisses the girl at the end and we didn't, the cock blocked us. And I'm like, really? That's the thing that, like, you know, pisses y'all off about this movie? Oh.
If I'm not getting kissed, nobody is. I don't know. I think this is one of those that I let myself get amped up and excited for, and I went in and been like, oh, there's, like, where's the fucking energy? Like, where's the soundtrack to Country Roads, Take Me Home? Yeehaw! Like, I think that was the most excitement we got.
As good as the effects were, when they're getting out of the truck to, like, set up the radars and shit, it didn't look nearly as dangerous as I think it should look. Like, I thought in the other movie, like, when, you know, they're getting out of the car to set up Dorothy and shit, it's like, y'all way too close to this motherfucker. Where in that one, it's just like, yeah, there's a tornado. Doesn't look that bad. Yeah, other, they like, you know.
I mean, I don't know. Like, dude. Like, so I got caught out in the park, and I think the wind gust, like, my phone was saying, like, 60 mile an hour. I was getting pelted with all kinds of fucking little grit and dirt,
yeah,
and,
like,
shit coming off
level,
the baseball,
like, you know,
fields, and I'm like,
it's like standing in a
this
sand
sucks. Yeah.
Being that, like, close to the fucking tornado. Especially because their truck, like, the other, because they had to, like, set it up and, like, triangulate it, so, like, two were on, like, the edges in the back, and their truck was the one that was, like, setting it up directly in front of the tornado. So you would think that, like, they would be getting the most push of debris in their direction. And it's like, every time they did that, it's like, other than that final tornado where they're in the town trying to save the people, like, It just doesn't look that dangerous. It should. It looked way more dangerous in the first movie. There should have been somebody off camera with a fucking air gun, like, throwing rocks at him and shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think for me, like, I'm just at the point to where I get so much enjoyment watching actual chase footage, you know, and that sort of thing, and being like, "Cat, look at this, you know, these guys actually have a Doppler on wheels, you know, this guy actually has a fucking tank of a car, you know, trying to get inside of a tornado, like."
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't follow as close as you do, but yeah, that, but from a,
I need fire again.
Engineering standpoint, yeah, there's like, gotta be a balance of like, you can either be super, like, protected, but you're going to be heavy and not maneuverable enough to, like, get into position where you need to be. And if you have something light and maneuverable, it's not going to survive that encounter. So it's, like, trying to find that, like, perfect balance of protection and maneuverability.
I don't know what he built, you know, his vehicle from. Hold on.
Because a fucking Abrams tank would probably survive. But, yeah, good luck getting that thing fast enough to get in to the path of a tornado. Wasn't that the plot of one of the Sharknado movies? Like, we got to set off a bomb inside of the tornado to dissipate it. We're going to nuke the nader. I think one time they used space lasers. I don't know. Those movies started getting ridiculous after a while. When Leatherface showed up and was like killing sharks with a chainsaw, that's when I was like, whoa, this is this is getting ridiculous. Or any movie that makes Gary Busey a scientist, you're like, no, y'all have gone too far off the rails.
I guess he used a Subaru 2.5 liter. But yeah, I mean, like, there's an image of this thing. Like,
yeah, I think I've seen that.
You know, it's got the turret that, you know, the cameraman can go into and do all of his, you know, 360 panoramics and shit. Like,
yeah, and the angles are too, where it doesn't. You don't want to have a lot of flat surfaces. You want to have like angles so it'll, you know, not hit. Anything hits won't hit solid, it'll deflect
off.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure all of that shit is armored, and, you know, they got, like, the fucking...
But just give me an old 90s Dodge with a roll cage, we're good to go.
You just gotta yell yeehaw.
Yeah. Gonna lose my cowboy hat. I mean, they do make cowboy hat-shaped hard hats now, so it could at least get you...
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I really wanted to like the film, and I think I went in with my expectations too high, and what I got was less destruction movie and more, you know, love story.
Where I had zero zero expectations, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. But yeah, now hearing your opinion, you know, it's like, you're right, there wasn't a whole lot of character development. Other than the main two characters, did not give a fuck about anyone else in the story.
I don't know. That or like I said, you know, my perception of the world has just gone to shit, and I'm now, you know, a grumpy old man, and
damn kids, get your tornadoes off my lawn. You wanted more Discovery Channel, less
well,
Lifetime.
I mean, no, I mean, like I said, I love a fucking disaster film, but show me the disaster. Like,
yeah, because we got like a few, like, after, it's kind of like a horror movie where the killing happens off screen. Like, we got like,
but see, I
actually
this
town and everything's
love
fucked
that
up.
Though, I mean, dude, come on now, I'm a fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre fanatic, and you talk to people about the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and everybody's like, man, it was so bloody, it was so gory, and I'm like, go back and watch the film. Because it's not. It's your imagination, because the camera always cuts away before the blood and the gore.
Or you see, like, the bodies and shit afterward. Where, yeah, we got a couple, like, we're driving through these towns that have gotten all fucked up, but we didn't get, other than that last town, you didn't get to see the fucking up happen.
Like, goddamn, like, fucking, you know.
And we did have, like, the hero moment, like, oh no, we don't have enough shelters for all the people in this town. This theater we're hiding in's gonna, everyone's gonna die. Me, who's been scared of tornado, I'm just gonna have to go steal the truck and drive right into the tornado. And whether, if this thing works, we save us all. If not, we're all fucked. And, you know, pretty much thought they were just gonna kill her character at that point, but of course not. She's, yeah, you know, she gets rolled, but doesn't die in the magic tornado dust they release actually dissipates the tornado.
And I think that's the other thing that was the sort of the big difference. Like, you know, you didn't give a shit about anybody that the main characters, so you know
they had the plot armor.
They're not going to let anything happen to the main characters. Everybody else can be cannon fodder. And I hate a movie like that. Like, or I'm just like, it's too fucking predictable. The stakes aren't real. Like, the danger isn't real. You know, it's just...
Yeah, with the exception of, like, killing her team at the beginning, it's like...
But you didn't give a shit.
If you're on the main team, you're not dying in this movie.
There was Glenn, there was the one homeboy, and then there was our... You know, that was it.
And then it was the cool English, the English fucking writer that's there to do a news story on Homeboy, and then you know the story evolves. Like, you know, at one point he sees him taking photos of her, and he's like, "Don't worry about it, man. That's your story. Like, follow her, not my fucking YouTube antics. I'll be all right." She's way more interesting than
okay.
You,
so
dude.
We had four that. Two of which we don't even know names for. Javi? Was that it?
Yeah, Javi was his, like, sidekick guy. The guy that actually rode in the truck with him. And, like, Ben was the English reporter that was following him around. But the rest of the team, without looking it up here on the Wikipedia page, I have no idea what anybody's name was. That's how much, like, character development we got on those guys.
Like, here's the sad part for me. It's been, what, a month since we watched this film now, probably?
Yeah.
I don't even give a shit about it enough to try to pull it up on Wikipedia. Like, there's not enough there for me to give a shit about to be like, eh. Like, I was almost going to go back and rewatch this, and I was like, fuck.
No, I was wrong. So, yeah, Javi was not the guy that rode sidekick with him. Javi was the leader of the other team, her friend from the original team that didn't die. That was Javi. So I don't even know who the other guy we were just talking about is.
I was going to say there was a Javi in there somewhere, I thought. But
that might be Boone, who was his videographer. But yeah. Yeah, Javi, Tyler, Kate, no one else I can remember in this freaking movie. And I forgot who Javi was there for a good few minutes. So I looked like, oh, no, it's the other guy. Oh.
See, I did sort of pay attention. I really tried. It just...
I blame Deadpool. Deadpool just, like, blew my mind. I can't remember anything pre-Deadpool.
I just, you know... I'm glad I saw Twisters before I saw Deadpool. That's all I can say.
Oh. Speaking of which, because this is our last episode, this will be coming out Tuesday. We'll be in Dragon Con, like, 2 days from now. Do you think we get the massive Deadpool army this year like we had Barbies last year?
Fuck yes.
Like,
we're going to have so many Deadpools, many Wolverines.
I've noticed they've started like putting the photo shoots on the actual like schedule. I need to look up and see if there's a Deadpool shoot because I want to see the massive pools like we saw that when we accidentally wandered into the Barbie photo shoot last year and was like, we're in danger.
I've never swam in a sea of pink until that day. Yes. And I was like, I didn't know whether to be, like, giddy or mortified.
Oh, speaking of which, our homeboys at King of Camo, they made that Deadpool Deagle for a raffle giveaway. Nate actually got a full Deadpool costume to go draw the ticket in. So he was there as Deadpool drawing the ticket.
I just want to be his dog pool so I can look retarded and people caress me.
I want to see if somebody dresses up as Headpool, and it's like, he's just like the head, and he's like wearing like a green screen suit walking around at Dragon Con. That would be fun. Like one of those like fucking morph
suits. Create
a
green screen. That'd be fun just to dick around with.
Probably do that.
It would not be very difficult.
I mean, the screen, it's all the software. The screen itself is just anything fucking green.
Yeah. Like, literally, I've helped make one, and it was just fucking, the frame was PVC.
Yeah, we wrapped the studio in one, and then we put, like, a professional studio, like, on the screen. So, you know, we're sitting in a shed, but it looks like we're in, like, fucking CNN's main broadcast.
God, anywhere you could be, and that's where you want to be?
That's just the first one that came to mind.
Jesus. I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
Fox News.
God. Why has it got to be news?
All right. Death Star.
Anywhere we could be, and you're like, yeah, we should be in a news studio. Like,
this is news, right? All right. We put ourselves on the bridge of a Star Destroyer. We're the Empire Podcast.
We're so shitty, we'll just make ourselves in an exhaust port.
Darth Vader's like chess piece is just a Zoom. We're just plugged into Vader's chessboard. Oh, but yeah.
Hey, there was people. There were tornadoes. Occasionally the tornadoes did shit. And the people talked a lot.
Well,
and
final...
they weren't very memorable.
Final thoughts on this here, worthy fool. It's earthy, it's got some peppery to it, and it's so far, I mean, I'm still smoking on it, we're an hour in, so despite its kind of small size, it's a good session length cigar. A little peppery from the Habano, and just a, kind of a touch of sweetness. Not bad. I would definitely pick up another one. These annual Fool release, which I think we have the Fool's Aaron, and then we had the Arrogant Fool, and then this year is the Worthy Fool. So yeah, I think you can still pick up all the Fool versions. I've seen, I think, every version in our local cigar shop, the cigar shop. So yeah, if you want to be a fool, go smoke you a fool, and we'll be right back with some science.
Come listen to the 42 Cast. It's your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything, and you can only find it on the ESO Network.
Yes, science! And welcome back. It's time for some science. And unlike weird weather science, this is real bullshit science.
I just realized we're against the clock.
Oh, yeah?
We have 24 minutes before our memory card is full. So, get to it!
Really? I thought I purged it last time.
It says...
I normally...
0-24-02?
Oh, damn, I normally purge the memory card after I record. I must have forgot to last time. All right. I
wonder what's on it now.
Well, first off, we've got a 17-year-old builds a nuclear reactor for a high school project. Isn't that the plot of, like, a movie?
I don't know. Dennis the Menace destroys the world?
No, there was that movie with Matthew Broderick, I think. build a nuclear bomb in his garage for a science project. Anyway, a Italian high school student at Cardiff Sixth Form College's Cambridge campus, as part of a project, extended project qualification, basically it's like a long-term science project that these kids do, built a nuclear fusion reactor in an attempt to make plasma. Basically, he had to teach himself coding with via YouTube videos in an attempt to create plasma hot enough to generate neutrons. The limitations of the project, the budget was basically $6,500 to build a nuclear reactor. And while he did not achieve full fission or fusion or whatever, he did make plasma. And apparently the coding and controls were hosted on a Raspberry Pi system. So if you have a Raspberry Pi and $6,500, you too can build a nuclear reactor in your garage.
That's scary. Kinda.
Yeah, apparently the school was worried about safety, so he had. But apparently, they went through risk assessments, and the staff approved his project. And you know, he was able. Apparently, he's already gotten job offers before even making into high school, so or college. So yeah, this is kind of a cool thing that you know.
No, very cool. Like,
yeah, like
the power of YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube can teach you anything. And also, speaking of robots, world's largest 3D printed neighborhood is almost finished. People are starting to move in. This is Wolf Ranch. It's a subdivision just outside of Austin, Texas. Basically, they've a company called Icon, who's built like these basically giant robotic 3D printers who print via concrete, has been since starting. 2022 has been basically 3D printing 100 homes in this subdivision, and they should be completed by end of this summer. Basically, the smallest and cheapest house in the subdivision, they have a 3-bed, 2-bath model that's 1,500 square feet that goes for about $450,000, and they have two bigger, more luxurious homes that are available. But yeah, this picture of these, like, just giant freaking 3D printers just, like, pumping out homes. It's kind of interesting. So, yeah, all the walls and conduits and everything are just 3D painted out of concrete. And then they have, like, a prefab metal roof that caps the thing on top. But, you know, if you're in Texas and got some money and want to live in some of the first 3D printed homes, you can do it. And apparently this company's also got contracts with NASA, where this is kind of just testing this ability to build 3D printed structures. They're wanting to eventually, they've received a $57 million contract from NASA to develop construction technologies that could help build 3D printed infrastructure like landing pads, roads, and houses on the moon and on Mars.
Sounds like they need to get a 3D printed stairwell or elevator built and get them astronauts out of space.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy, like all the funding that NASA had and everything else, and it's like now the private sector's like, yeah, we can do that better and cheaper.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's
constant. It's amazing what happens when government has to get out of the way.
You gotta musk up. Just yelling. Or like, we're gonna keep NASA but we're not gonna have our own shuttles anymore. That's kind of probably a bad idea. Well, here's a news article for you. New tarantula species discovered in Arizona. It's with a hairy orange butt.
Is it an orange bitey thing?
Not all orange. It's a black tarantula with an orange ass. they've discovered these. They up in the Chicachua Mountains in southeastern Arizona, in an area known as Madria Sky Island, is a group of forest regions at high elevations, bordered by grasslands and desert. They found these kind of spiders hanging out in these high altitude pine forests. It has been named, at first they mistaked them for a different type of spider, but DNA testing confirmed it was a brand new species, and has been named Aphanoplema jacobi, named after Michael A. Jacobi, who found some of the first specimens of this new species.
Does it say, I'm assuming this is a New World tarantula? Or does it specify?
It does not. It just says it represents the 30th new species of tarantula to be found in the U.S. to the genus Aphanopedia, which most diverse of all tarantula genera. But yeah, it doesn't say if they are Old World or New World.
Probably new. An arboreal species, huh?
Yep. Well, it says it has a docile disposition, so I guess it's not technically an orange bitey thing.
No, no. OBT, it'll fuck you up.
So it's only half orange. It doesn't do full orange cat behavior. It's only partial orange. Oh,
the OBT is not a cat. It's straight up velociraptor, dude. Like it's.
Well, finally, since we're apparently short on time, world record for the widest female tongue has been broken for the first time in 10 years.
Was it Octua girl?
Apparently not. Oh, yes, the owner of the. She is a Texan. Brittany Lacayo. Well,
I guess things are bigger in Texas, huh?
Yeah. Her tongue measures 3.11 inches at its widest point. It's about the width of a credit card. But it's only 1 inch long, making it almost square. And there's a picture of this lady. And yeah, that looks interesting. But Guinness World Records has confirmed her as the who broke the previous record of 2.89 inches wide, held by fellow American Emily Schlenker for 10 years. And apparently this girl's father also held the male record for a short time, so I guess big tongues run in the family. And the current world male record is Brian Thompson, whose tongue measures 3.49 inches wide.
It's not very long, but it's very wide. She adult age?
Yes.
Okay. It's like, I was going to say my commentary, like, you're going to tell me, like, this girl's, like, 11. I'm be like, oh.
I don't see an age in this article, but from the picture of her, she looks to be of age. I'm guessing. That's all the stupid I got for you this week. We're right back with some nerd news.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
All right, this segment we're going to talk a little bit about some video game news, and there's a little convention happening next week that Joe had alluded to back in the main segment called Dragon Con. So, figure. We'll just devote the rest of the segment to.
Well, we got two newsish articles.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Well, I guess with the first article, I will be marking my calendar for October 11th because we did get our trailer for Starship Troopers Extermination game, and goddamn, does this look amazing! Like, yeah. The voice acting, the scale, and everything. It's all the things that I feel like Twisters was not.
Yeah, we previously talked about kind of the announcement trailer, but this is like the first, like, looks like gameplay trailer, and yeah, it looks pretty badass.
Yeah, so, you know, looks like we'll be bringing to consoles on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and S, and
so no PC?
And PC.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, fuck, I gotta go buy a PlayStation. Gotta buy a new system.
No new system requirements. So, I don't know. You know, I think it's gonna be awesome. I'm not sure if this is gonna be a single play or squad based with AI or what, but I'm gonna need friends because I can't save the universe alone.
Hey, I've got good internet now. I could probably get online.
I'd be like, Joe, I can play 1 hour a week. Like, dude,
I need a new headset, though, because my gaming headset broke.
There is a new Star Wars trailer for Outlaws.
That should be dropping this Friday, so plenty of time to start that before Starship Troopers comes out.
Yeah, so this you know, was kind of a cool trailer just to see some of the different worlds that the players are going to be able to visit.
And it looks like you're someone in the underworld. This one kind of follows the smugglers and dealers and crime syndicates of the Star Wars universe, so it's, you're not having to do Jedi shit, you're doing some straight up, like, you know, gangster shit, but it's Grand Theft Auto Star Wars. But from the gameplay footage, it looks a lot like a lot of the same game mechanics as Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be single player, it's going to be open world, and, you know, it's all about the scoundrels, which is an amazing aspect of Star Wars that up until recently with the one-off series, we didn't get a lot of that universe.
Yeah, we've not, you know, gotten a whole lot of the underbelly of the Star Wars universe.
I wish I knew how to pronounce all of these planets. Akiva? Tashira? Kijimi? Tatooine?
I know Tatooine. Yeah. That one I recognize.
So, basically, this will be set between the events of The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. This will be essentially the first open-world Star Wars game, and players will be able to explore distinct planets across the galaxy. Some iconic and some new. This centers on a Vess, who is voiced by Humberlee Gonzalez. She is an emerging scoundrel seeking freedom and the means to start a new life, along with her companion Nix. You'll have to fight, steal, and outwit your way through the galaxy's crime syndicates as you join the galaxy's most wanted. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, this is one that I'm really going to have to keep an eye on, because you know, this will be on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, Ubisoft Connect, and available Friday, August 30th. If you get the Gold or Ultimate Editions of Outlaw, you'll be granted early access 3 days ahead of time on August 27th.
And I got an email, too, if you are a member of, if you have Disney Plus, they sent out, like, a download code to get to, like, extra accessories and shit on startup if you have a Disney Plus membership.
All the cross merchandising.
Yeah.
So, you know, we already know that we've been approved as press somehow again for Dragon Con, going on what, our, Jesus, this would be our 7th or 8th
year? I don't know. Count the badges on the wall, see how many we've been to. And we've submitted all our interview requests. We don't know who we're talking to yet, because we usually don't get that notification until the train ride down. We'll probably find out Thursday morning who we're talking to. But if you want to come have a cigar with us, of course, the Dragon Con Cigar Group, we always have our Thursday meetup at 7 at the Red Foam Booth.
And folks, do be sure to join the Dragon Con Cigar Group and RSVP if you are interested in that.
Because that's where they will post the code to get into the phone booth, because it's a speakeasy. You got to have the passcode to get in. Any other time of the weekend, we normally have cigars out at either the Hilton steps or at the Hyatt pool. And if you want to try to coordinate with us, send us a message on Facebook, send us an email, cigarnerdpodcast.
Comms don't work at Dragon Con. Yeah. Send smoke signals.
So yeah, if you're going to be there and you're like, no, and for the first time this year, I've bought like a bunch of the badge ribbons that say Cigar Nerd. So, you know, come out and have a cigar and get a Cigar
Sweet.
Nerd badge.
So I'm guaranteed
ribbon.
At least a ribbon if yeah. I'm good.
We'll get two. You get one at the phone booth meetup, and we'll have our own. So yeah, I got 100 of those things to give out. So yeah, there's plenty to go around if you can find us out smoking and get a ribbon.
Is that for every cigar that somebody smokes and comes up to us?
Yeah, got to find somebody smoking a cigar. Like, all right, you're smoking a cigar. You get a badge ribbon.
But that's one of the amazing things about Dragon Con is, you know, the amount of people that go for the panels, a lot of the folks that go for, you know, shopping and vendor, the folks like us that
smoke
we might hit
and pay
a panel and people watch, like,
And the guest list this year is looking pretty good. There's some big name people. I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio is going to be there. Talk to Kingpin.
Yeah, I did see that Trejo might be up in the air.
He had to cancel a previous convention because of I guess a filming schedule. So far he's still on track for Dragon Con. Because
that's
yet.
One that like.
Yeah, I might pay for an autograph for that one. And for I don't normally buy autographs, but Trejo is like, oh, that's a fucking epic one.
Like, I don't know, you know.
Most of the Star Trek The Next Generation cast is there this year, with the exception of Patrick Stewart, but damn near everybody else is going to be there. So, yeah, there's some big-name people. So.
I love, too, how the hotels are getting behind, like, the theme. I think Hilton's doing Beetlejuice. I don't know what the Westin's doing like now. They had to pivot to something
I saw
different.
Something about the Heroes of the Con, whatever that's going to be. We'll see.
Like, it's funny to me, like, how little we visit the Westin or the Sheraton. I'm not even going to... what the fuck's the name of that new hotel?
Cortland Grand or something. I've
seen them piss a lot of people off.
Yeah, I've heard they've been canceling and rooms moving people to... Yeah, because they got bought, so there was a change of ownership, and I guess they're not... don't know what Dragon Con is yet, because they've been fucking around. By the way,
how do
go
you
over there,
not? Like, how can you be a successful... fucking anybody.
Yeah, basically.
And not know the biggest convention in Atlanta.
Like, we go over there to get, like,
badges?
Amanda's badges, and that's most of the...
I'm gonna have to go twice.
And then, we always go over there for the night fighting. That's the coolest thing that's hosted in that hotel I like watching. We used to go to the Westin more, because that's where all the steampunk shit was, but that got moved over to the Cortland. So it's like, I don't think I even went to the Westin last year.
No, I don't think we...
I heard the joystick game bar is back. This would be
yes,
up
I did
in,
hear
somewhere in Peachtree Center.
The joystick, and that was epic. Like, you know.
I think there's going to be like a pinball exhibit, too, over in the gaming hall. And they have a bunch of pinball machines over there in the America's Marts Gaming Hall this year, I saw. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, track us down. The only other... news we had that's non-Dragon Con related. Apparently, Disney has canceled Alkalite. We're not getting a season 2 of that. I've heard even if you go to the Disney website, there's like all the Alkalite merchandise has been taken down too. They're just like, yeah, we fucked up. We're not doing this.
Abort mission. Abort mission.
I mean, we've talked about every Disney Star Wars series that has come out, and that was the one where it's like, I don't care to talk about this. It was that's how bad it was that me, as the biggest cigar nerd was, or Star Wars nerd was like, nah, we can. That's not worth doing an episode. I can't talk about this for an hour.
Yeah, I remember you texted me and like, dude, we're gonna have to come up with something different.
Yeah, I'm like, this is bad.
And then I
just don't want to shit talk it for an hour, like every other person on the internet. I'm like, this is not worth it.
And then I was like, oh, we should definitely do Twisters, and then we did Deadpool. Like it was such a high and then such a low. I will say, looking at weather and you know, it's fucking Atlanta. If
it'll be hot as balls.
Hydrate,
really,
really nice this week. Low humidities, low temperatures. Looks like fall landed a week early, and next week's gonna be fucking high 90s with, you know, high humidity. So
speaking of
extra clothes, extra deodorant, and lots of hydration to go with, you know.
And go to our YouTube channel, because I posted a pre-Dragon Con workout video to get you in shape for Dragon Con.
Did you just chug bottles of liquor? What did you do?
It's pretty much it. It's like it's on our YouTube shorts. But yeah, it's like it's a series of exercises, and in like every one, I'm drinking from a flask during the. I was like climbing upstairs, waiting in the sun, waiting for an elevator, walking 20 miles a day. Walking uphill, walking downhill, and I'm just like chugging whiskey the whole time.
Isn't that crazy that without even seeing all of the footprint of Dragon Con, and we're covering 20 miles a day?
Yeah, it's like you don't realize it at the time, and then you look at my like tracker app on my phone, and it's like, oh dude, no wonder we hurt. We did like 18 miles today.
Like, I'm hoping that my disc golf endeavor of has. Got me better prepped.
But I think that's all we got for you this
Is this
going
to be your first con as Skinny Joe?
I was Skinnier Joe, because last year, we're coming up on 2 years of, so I was about 9 months in last Dragon Con. So I've kind of plateaued out. I'm not losing as much. I've kind of hit like the new normal. But my cardio game is definitely a lot better than it was in previous cons. So I could probably make the death march from the Sheridan to the Westin without dying, like a like we've done in the book. Because that's like a fucking hill from hell.
But like for everything that we do, it's almost like what was the point? Like it's like we walk into a hotel and it's like, we'll just go back to the big three.
Yeah. That's where we spend most of our time, except for like the long trek to the dealer's hall. But that's all we got for you this week. We'll see you at con. Depending on how long it takes me to edit the videos, we'll probably have a video up next week of our con experience. Check us out on ESONetwork.com. We're also on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on Instagram, Twitter, X, Facebook, at CigarNerdPod. We're on the YouTube, at CigarNerdPodcast. And with that, hey, it's a twister. Get to the pool, whatever they did in that movie. Peace. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.